This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus Brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
Welcome to the Olive Podcast. I'm Janine, Olive's deputy editor and podcast host, and each week I'll be catching up with fascinating characters from the food world as they share stories, advice, and expertise. Delighted to welcome Kate Hall to the podcast. Kate is the author of a new book, The Full Freezer Method, 5 Steps to Transform How You Shop, Cook, and Live. And the book shares all of the expertise and learnings from her Instagram and website of the same name. She's on a mission to show us how to use your freezer to reduce food waste, cook from scratch more easily, and enjoy more variety in our cooking. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited about this podcast as I've been following you on Instagram and reading your book, and it's honestly made me think about my freezer in a completely different way. First of all, could you just tell us a bit about your journey and how you became, in your own words, a complete freezer geek?
Absolutely. It started quite a long time ago. Yeah. I started out very much with the batch cooking. So I was really ill in my early 20s. I had blood clots in my shoulder, and my mum, bless her, came and filled a mini freezer with batch cooked meals. And that reassurance that I had that safety blanket of, yeah, if I couldn't cook because I wasn't well, was just, it was a, you know, something that I really relied on. Yeah. And for well over a decade, I used batch cooking as just that reassurance that whether it was illness, whether it was, you know, busy work hours or having a small child, you know, yeah, when I was pregnant. And then it was when we had our second child and we moved house when he was 5 weeks old. And I had an empty freezer and kept on buying food with good intentions.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know, we stock up the fridge with, yeah, all the fresh fruit and veg. And I was thinking, well, I'll cook from scratch and I'll batch cook this week and it's going to be great. And instead, the baby would be crying, the toddler would be crying, I would be crying, you know, and you sort of go, okay, yeah, no, it's not happening today. Yeah. And all of that amazing fresh food would just go off in the fridge.
Yeah.
And we would go to the local shop and we'd get a sling in the oven meal or we'd order takeaway. And we just got to a point where actually financially we could not afford to keep on doing that. Yeah. I was on statutory maternity leave and I just had a light bulb moment that was like, well, hang on a minute. If I can cook and freeze a meal, surely I can just press pause on the ingredients, yeah, if I need to. And I went head first into it, looking in the fridge and just going, well, I've not got enough time to cook that chili con carne that I was going to cook because the baby's probably going to wake up or the toddler's going to want a snack. And I just couldn't cope with it. Like, it was just too much for me to, yeah, start cooking and be interrupted. But I could just cut up the onion or just cut up the peppers or just make sure that if I'd bought an ingredient and it was looking like it was going to head towards the bin,
yeah,
I could freeze it. And then when I actually came to cook the meal, when I had the time or the headspace or the kids had finally gone to sleep, I'd got those ingredients prepped.
Yeah.
And I could just cook them mostly straight from frozen. Like, I think that's the thing that tends to shock people, that people think if you're freezing, well, I've got to be organised, I've got to defrost things.
Yeah.
And actually, so much can be cooked from frozen. Yeah. And yeah, I just started freezing everything that was at risk of going in the bin.
Yeah.
Starting to organise it. I did food safety and hygiene training because I was terrified that I was going to poison us. You know, so going through that whole process, yeah. it was just a natural kind of step forward from the batch cooking to just give me more flexibility.
I love the idea of the pause button, put it in the freezer and think about it at a later date, but you know that it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really interesting to me that so many things that have previously seemed a bit uncool, like slow cookers, microwaves, pressure cookers, and freezing, are just suddenly in the spotlight and super trendy because of the money-saving and environmentally friendly reasons.
That's it, completely. And I think that's the thing that when I first started, it was during the pandemic, when I started sharing it publicly, and I started sharing it because it had been useful to me. And I thought, well, if there are people self-isolating, if there are people wanting to avoid the shops, this is useful information. But it's really been with the cost of living crisis where people have started to sort of take more of an interest and really, you know, seeing how prices have gone up in the shops.
Crazy.
It's astronomical. And yeah, being able to just spread out our food, to choose, to still be able to eat things that we like because we know we can justify the cost because we can make sure it doesn't go to waste, I think is a massive thing. It just gives people more control. And I think they're more open-minded to that than they were, because before, you know, we'd just throw it away and buy some more.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the more that we become aware of the cost and actually that it's really bad for the planet.
Yeah, because you make the point and you know, it's a really valid one of, you're not just throwing, say, a bag of potatoes in the bin. You're also throwing away like the time it took the farmer to grow the potatoes, and then the transportation, the storage in the supermarket, and then, you know, the packaging. It's everything around that.
It's enormous.
The whole chain.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, if the stat that's often quoted is that if food waste were a country, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases.
Wow.
So that knock on, you know, when we stop and think, you look at, oh, it's just a tin of pineapple or something. And it's like, well, where did that pineapple come from?
Yeah.
Like, how far has that travelled? How hard did the people work
to get that,
to actually produce that product? And to me as well, like when I talk about it from a sustainability and, you know, an environmental perspective, it's not from a place of judgment.
No.
It's a place of, actually, we've got a massive amount of control over this.
Yeah.
This is something that, as you know, households are the worst out of all of, you know, it's not restaurants and supermarkets. Like, yes, obviously they have their food waste. They need to tackle that too. But actually our households are massively guilty of it. And sort of cumulatively, we can
take responsibility.
We can take responsibility, but we can have a huge, massive
effect on it,
a positive effect.
Yeah.
And we've got the control to do that. And by doing it, we get to save money.
Yeah.
We get to enjoy different things because we're not throwing away. I mean, it's about £1,000 a year that the average family of four is throwing away, just buying food and putting it in the bin.
Yeah. And I think another thing we should kind of get out of the way as well is the idea that frozen food is somehow lesser than fresh food. Because in a lot of cases, you know, you do talk about a lot of the stuff that you freeze is stuff that you've got in frozen. But then, you know, you're saying don't discount pre-frozen things, like things like vegetables. They're often frozen at source, in which case all the nutrients are kept in. And if we freeze stuff quickly enough, then the nutrients are there as well.
Absolutely. You know? And my position is always, you know, it's well worth trying your supermarket freezer aisle.
Yeah.
Like, there may be some convenience options there that you had no idea even existed.
Yeah.
So it's always worth having a look at. If the way that they're prepared commercially doesn't work for you, then freezing them at home is a great alternative. And my argument always from the nutrition perspective is, even though, you know, as fresh food lingers in our fridge, you know, the nutritional value is depleting. Like, it is going down the older the food is. But better to freeze, you know, that pepper that would have otherwise ended up in the bin and cook a meal from scratch using it than order a takeaway or get an ultra-processed sling-in-the-oven meal. So, you know, that fruit, that veg is there for us to consume. We know it's going to be better for us than anything else. So looking at the freezer as that pause button or using it as a convenience option, it's just so worth exploring. So, and it's unfair, the rep that it's had over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about knowing what to do with it, how to cook with it. That's the difference.
Let's talk about some more practical advice. Can we talk a bit about what you call the full freezer loop? Because I think, you know, sometimes people just feel like, oh, I'm not sure, can I freeze that? And once it's frozen, can I do that with it? And what? And in the freezer loop, you explain how freezing, defrosting, cooking works.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole idea of the full freezer loop is reassuring around the safety and also the quality. So if you take, say, a raw pepper and you freeze it. So I would usually chop that up and freeze it so it's ready to use straight from frozen. I can cook that straight in a pan. And when I cook a meal using that, as long as I cool it down within 2 hours and get it into the fridge and then into the freezer or just straight into the freezer from room temperature, then that meal can then be reheated once.
Right.
So just because something has been in our freezer doesn't mean it can't go back in the freezer. We just have to cook it in between.
Oh, okay.
So it's all about, it's basically about the temperature of the food, that it's raising the temperature up to a safe temperature and then bringing it back down to a safe temperature. So you don't want food sitting in what's known as the danger zone, which is sort of 8 to 63 degrees C, but we can think of it as room temperature. And the important thing to remember with that is that when you're freezing that meal, you want to make sure you're portioning it, because if you can only reheat it once, it needs to be a quantity that you're actually going to eat, because those leftovers really shouldn't be reheated more than once. They should be disposed of, and we don't want that.
I think that's a really nice sort of chapter in your book where you go heavily into the idea of, you know, how are you going to freeze something and in what quantity are you going to freeze it? And, you know, making it as accessible and easy for you, because we've all been guilty of freezing those giant blocks of stuff. And, and then you kind of look at it and go, no, not this
can't
week.
Face that. Yeah, I can't. And it takes so much longer to defrost or to reheat. Yeah. Like if we actually look at the portion sizes that we're more likely to consume. And when people ask me, well, what's the right portion size? Well, get a plate out and put it on the plate before you freeze it. See, because for me, you know, a portion of leftovers is going to be very different to the portion of leftovers suitable for my husband or for my kids. So actually looking at, you know, what's the most practical way to freeze for us? If we're not going to sit down as a family of four to have a reheated meal altogether, actually, are we better off freezing those leftovers in individual portions?
Yeah, because then you can just get out per person what you need.
And for small kids, I, you know, and absolute winner of a hack over the last few years for me is if I've got a really small portion of a meal left over, you know, that amount of leftovers where you're like,
is it worth
it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. That is a perfect meal for a kid. Or it's often a perfect meal to stick in a wrap with some rice.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
You know, it's a lunch meal.
It's
a jacket
just,
potato with that tiny bit of chili or whatever it might be. So even when you think you've not got enough to justify freezing it, actually, it can be an absolute lifesaver.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
What I found really interesting as well is you've actually got two Instagram accounts. You've got at the full freezer method and you've got at, and I spent a long time on this yesterday, at can I freeze it? And every time I clicked on a thing, God, you can't, it was like, yes, you can. But it's a lovely account because it's very visual and you kind of say, yes, you can freeze it. It'll freeze perfectly. Or yes, you can freeze it. The texture might not be as, or yes, you can freeze it. It might split, but it'll still be edible. So you kind of really go quite deep into what you can freeze. And I think I looked, I was trying to find out what you couldn't freeze. at the back of the book, you've got, it's quite a short list. I have to say, what can't I freeze? Hard boiled eggs. I mean, I think no one needs to freeze a hard boiled egg. Come on, do something with it. Creamy dips or dishes, because they might split. And emulsion sauces for the same reason. Jelly, I mean, it's a bit like egg. You kind of get why.
That's it. And with jelly, I mean, it kind of works frozen. Yeah. So you can have it as a sort of frozen pudding, but just if you defrost it, it will be gross.
And then obviously salad, you know, you can freeze components apart, but a salad together will get slimy and weird.
Yeah,
and
you can't freeze a salad and defrost it. But if you want to freeze the tomatoes or the cucumber or, you know, the carrot, freezing the pieces independently to then use in cooking or to use in smoothies, things like that, that's absolutely fine.
And you have a very, very large section about how to freeze, what to freeze. I mean, it's just genius. I love it. And that's reflected on the can I freeze it bit. Mm. So I guess the idea with that was just giving people the permission to say, do it.
Yeah.
Try it.
So often I would get messages from people saying, oh, can I freeze broccoli? Can I freeze sweet? Whatever it might be. Can I freeze this half leftover jar of pesto? Yes. And I got to the point where it was like, I can't keep writing the message. So I thought, well, if I just make a video and then I can point people to the video, and obviously they've then got the suggestions as well of like, here's some ideas of what you can do with it. But I think it is really important to be upfront about the fact, you know, the texture may change, the flavour may even change, but some people will be sensitive to that and some people really won't. So it's just about giving it a go and finding what works for you. And even if you've tried freezing something and you go, oh, you know, well, I tried freezing milk and it split and it was horrible, so I threw it away. Yeah. Like, visiting the chapters in the book to understand, okay, that's just the fat and the water separating. If you'd shook it, you could have saved it. But also, if you didn't like it in your tea, that doesn't mean it wouldn't work in your porridge.
Yeah. Or making a sauce with it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just being open-minded to, just because it didn't work one way doesn't mean there might not be a different way that would work for you, that could avoid the waste.
I love that. Let's talk about the 5 golden rules, because again, I think this feeds into that and gives you like that kind of permission to you know, think, well, if I follow these rules, then, you know, I'm kind of well armed.
Yeah. So, I mean, the rules are really all about thinking about using your freezer in a way that stops you misusing it. Like, don't freeze things just because. And I've been guilty of that myself. You know, we freeze just because we think, well, this is, you know, I don't want it to go in the bin. But if it was a meal you didn't really enjoy, or if it's an ingredient that you don't really like, then it's not worth it.
You're not going to use it.
No.
It's just going to be a stopgap in the way to the bin when you do your next freezer clear out, isn't it?
That's it, completely. And, you know, stopping and thinking about how you're actually going to use the food before you freeze it, you know, making sure that you freeze with the end in mind is really important. So, you know, making sure that you're splitting things up, that you're, you know, whether it's portioning or whether it's using some of the techniques that I talk about in the book, like open freezing, so that you can just use what you need. Yeah. And, you know, that, like I say, it's, you know, it's that whole thing of, if you've done it one way and it hasn't worked, you know, stop, step back. And also, if you're freezing something for the first time, you know, one of the rules is to, you know, is to test,
yeah.
is to actually test a small amount. So even with, you know, even if you're a batch cooker and you like doing batch cooked meals, like making sure that you test a small quantity before yeah. you make, you know, 6 portions, 10 portions, whatever it might be, which is what I used to do, that yeah. I'd do a massive batch cook of a new recipe and then I'd freeze it and I'd go, oh, I didn't really like that.
It's not great. I had something like that actually that happened, and it's a first, and I think it must have been the kind of potatoes I use, but I do a lot of Indian cooking mm-hmm. and I'd made this lamb curry that had potato in it. When I defrosted it and reheated it, the potatoes were horrible.
Yeah.
Like kind of...
watery.
Really watery, but yeah. kind of tough on the outside and watery on the inside. And I was like, this is horrific. Oh, so I still make the same curry, but what I do is I use half the amount of potatoes and then we eat that bit, the bit that goes in the freezer, hasn't got potatoes. And then when I reheat it, I put in fresh potatoes. So it gets the... So that's an example
that.
Of, you know...
Yeah, that's a perfect example of looking at it and going, well, what element actually spoilt it?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean that I can't freeze that dish. It just means... that actually with that element in, it doesn't quite yeah. work. It's not as nice. And it doesn't as well mean that you can't freeze potatoes. It's the nature of how the potatoes are in the yeah. dish that doesn't work. But if you were, you know, if you prep potatoes and parboil and, you know, cool and freeze, like you can prep roast potatoes. They are amazing yeah. cooked from frozen. You know, Dauphinoise, baked potatoes. Like it doesn't work in that scenario. But actually, there's loads yeah. of alternatives that do work.
I actually did that at Christmas because I think it was, I'm sure it was on one of your Instagrams yeah. where you, I think you were talking about you can either parboil and freeze or you can actually par cook and freeze as well.
Yeah. yeah.
And it all works. And it's just, it's incredible. It's like, and then you think, oh, well, actually, those spuds in the supermarket that you get that are roasties, they're kind of par cooked and then they just freeze them, and that's why they're so easy to do, because you've done like half the work or three quarters of the work.
That's it. And even, you know, especially with things like Christmas, like yeah. you've got so much yeah. to prep and to think about anyway, and actually an entire roast dinner
yeah.
can be prepped frozen. Ahead and frozen and cooked from frozen, importantly. Yeah. You know, so to be able to just roast your potatoes straight from the freezer, but they are home cooked.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're cheating.
No,
like,
you've done all the work already.
If you wanted, yeah, if you wanted to do it yeah. all yourself, you've done it. It's just you could have done it literally by yeah. doing a roast over the Christmas months, you know, over the winter months in the run-up to Christmas
yeah.
and just freezing those leftover ones from the bag, just doing a bit extra every week.
And often, you know, that there are things there, like I always pre-make my gravy because that's a big, that, you know, yeah. everyone wants gravy. Everyone yeah. in our family wants double portions of gravy. So to be able to have a massive batch of gravy in the freezer is like gold
yeah.
completely. And it takes so much stress out of the yeah. day.
It's a win.
So you've said, don't freeze if you all need it, test it, tweak it if you need to. And then we've got don't fear the burn.
Yes, yes.
I like that. Because people do, I think people see freezer burn and they go, oh, that's, yeah, that's bin it. Bad, bin it.
Yeah, yeah, because I think so many people think it's going to make them sick. And yeah. actually all freezer burn is dehydration.
Right.
So it's where the moisture in the food has basically migrated out of the food and it's just going out to the coldest parts of the freezer.
Oh, right.
So it's not going to taste as nice. It's not good. You know, I wouldn't, if I had some freezer burnt chicken breasts, I wouldn't make those into something where the chicken breast was the star of the dish.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, if it was really bad, you could just cut the bits off
yeah.
if you're concerned about it. But actually just chop it up, put it in a curry, put it in a stew, something where you've got loads of flavour,
yeah.
you've got loads of veggies in there and
yeah.
the texture just isn't as important.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, if you want to avoid it, like making sure that you just squeeze as much air, wrap your food as tightly as possible. Don't allow the moisture to escape
from
the food.
So it's the air, that's the thing that...
It's basically the fact that if the food isn't tightly sealed, the moisture in it is able to escape. So if you're, you know, if you're really sensitive to freezer burn and you've got, you know, if you've got a really nice joint of meat or something, vacuum sealing it
yeah.
is going to be your best bet because there's nowhere for the moisture to
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
That's why you could have bought a turkey this Christmas and you could eat it next Christmas if it's vacuum sealed,
yeah.
you know, as long as it's within guidelines and everything. But often it's best before dates on frozen produce as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole sort of fear of freezer burn is completely unwarranted, because, you know, if your veggies have got a bit of frost on them, or if they're looking a bit dehydrated, actually, once you put them into a dish, they're usually fine. Yeah. They're usually absolutely fine. But yeah, making sure things are wrapped, and just use your food in your freezer more often.
Yeah.
It's when it's left sitting there for months and months on end, or years in some cases.
And your last one was ditch the defrosting, because as you said before, so many things, you don't worry about the fact that, oh God, I didn't bring that out to defrost it. So many things can be cooked
straight from frozen.
Yeah,
either cooked straight from frozen and even eaten straight from frozen. When we think about frozen fruits,
oh yeah,
you know, you don't have to defrost the frozen raspberries. Yeah. You can literally just eat frozen raspberries and they're really tasty.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, really the only thing that I tend to defrost is meat.
Yeah.
And that's from a safety perspective, to make sure that it's cooked all the way through, but also so that it doesn't end up overcooked. So, you know, some things you can cook from frozen, meat-wise, you know, like bacon and things like that, because the rashers are so thin and we can tell that it's cooked and it cooks so quickly.
Yeah.
But with most meat products, I would usually defrost.
Yeah,
and yeah, but pretty much everything else, unless it needs to be in liquid form, things like if I'd frozen eggs and I wanted to cook an omelette using it, I'm going to have to defrost them.
Would you make an omelette from frozen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The only caveat on that is if you like your omelette runny, then you shouldn't use frozen
eggs.
But
for example, you could make, say, a quiche.
Yes. Yes.
And it would work.
Yeah, quiche, frittata. That's what I had for lunch yesterday, was a frittata using frozen onion, frozen peppers, frozen bacon, frozen spinach and frozen eggs and frozen cheese.
That's a game changer.
Yeah. And it's
I love it.
All just straight from the freezer. And with the eggs, I usually will freeze them
flat
in a freezer bag in portions, you know, two eggs or three eggs that I can use, and just put that in a dish of very cold water. And within 10, 15 minutes, it's defrosted.
I was going to ask you about that then, because I've got some little practical tips making it easy on your future self. So one thing is flat freezing in bags. That's something I've started doing after reading your columns on Instagram. If I make a spag bol or a chili, I will literally get reusable freezer bags as well, because I know you're a big fan of those. There are freezer bags that you can wash and reuse.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I think you say like IKEA does.
Yeah.
They have to be quite thick though.
Yes. Yeah. They have to be good quality. And the IKEA ones I like because they've got a coloured band across the top. You can write on that with a permanent marker, but it will wash off if you soak it. So you can relabel them. And because of that band around the top, and there are actually more bags that are appearing on the market with a similar design, you can actually turn those fully inside out and then stand them upside down on a clean tea towel to dry.
Yeah, so they'll dry.
So you don't end up with that thing of like, oh, well, I've got this floppy bag that I've got to hang over glasses and things, and it's a nightmare to dry out. It just makes it so much easier.
But in terms of freezing flat, the beauty of it is, one, you're putting your stew, whatever, in, you're pressing it down to kind of a flat sheet, which gets rid of all of that air that you were talking about.
Yeah,
so number one,
it.
That's brilliant. Then number two, after you've frozen it, storage, so much easier.
Yeah, it's barely any space taken up, isn't it? Like, dependent on how many people you're freezing for. If you're just freezing a single portion or a kid's portion, the amount of food you can fit in your freezer when you start to freeze things flat is phenomenal.
Yeah. And then also, just as you said, it defrosts in like half the time or quarter of the time.
Yeah.
Especially if you just put it in some cold water,
That's it. And you don't need to plan ahead.
No.
You don't need, like, I find it so funny because people look at my freezer and go, oh, I could never be that organised. And it's like, no, I do this because I'm not organised. Yeah. It took a while to get it in place.
To get the system.
But, you know, once the system's there, I do it because I look and go, oh, we didn't eat the bananas. I meant to eat the bananas. Can I make banana bread? No, I've not got time. Oh, well, okay, let's chop them up, stick them in the freezer. It's taken me a minute.
Yeah, and then you know that they're there.
And I know it's there, and I don't have to plan ahead before I use them, because they're frozen in a way that I can just grab a handful. And because I wasn't organised and didn't buy the kids any puddings, I can make them a banana ice cream using literally frozen bananas.
Oh, your chocolate-covered bananas, which look incredible.
I haven't actually told the kids about those. I did them. And I thought, oh, that'll be a nice
mix snack,
up, nice thing for the holidays and everything. It's like, no, I'm not sharing. They're mine. That's the grown up treat.
another thing that you mentioned before, open freezing to avoid what you call a food bug. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, how many of us have been guilty of just putting, you know, like bananas is one I see really often where, just stick them in a bag and they might have, you know, someone might have sliced them up, but then put them in a bag and stuck them in the freezer. And because everybody's freezers are so crowded, you know, they get all stuck together, you've got this massive block, and then looking at it and going, am I going to have to defrost that? Or, you know, you're whacking it on the counter to try and break a bit off. Whereas if you open freeze, which you need literally just something that will fit in your freezer.
Like a baking tray or something.
Exactly that. Like I have specific freezer trays now that stack, which are great. But when I started, I just used baking trays. I used plastic food storage lids, picnic plates, whatever would fit
into
basically.
Your drawer,
That would just be what I'd use. And then you just need some baking parchment. And again, when I started, I'd just use normal baking parchment from the shop. But obviously, it's quite expensive. It's quite wasteful if you're having to, you know, keep doing it. So you can also actually get reusable baking parchment.
Like silicon mats and reusable things.
Exactly. Yeah. And the key thing with that is just to flag up, if you get that, like a lot of them are suitable for cooking as well, don't use your freezer ones in your oven because they will become stained and you'll end up with the smells from the cooking, cooked foods.
Okay, that's good to know, yeah.
So if you get some for your freezer, like make them, these are just my freezer mats, you know, don't use it for anything else.
So what are the benefits of open freezing? Is it just that it you just don't get that big sticking together thing of...
Yeah, it allows you to have more free flow. So it's like when you buy food from the supermarket, they've essentially done the same thing, but they like blast freeze it because they can go colder. So they'll freeze theirs much quicker than we can at home, but it does still mean that the food will freeze faster as well. If you've you know, an individual raspberry is going to freeze much faster than the raspberry right in the middle of a massive clump of raspberries. So by spreading it out, we can better preserve the quality. Also, I mean, if you're snacking on things like fruit, if you're snacking on frozen raspberries, like they look beautiful. Whereas if you've chucked them in a bag and they're all battered up, you know, they're great for smoothies, but they're not quite as pretty to snack on. So, you know, making sure that they're not frozen into a massive clump is helpful, but it will also help to preserve the quality too.
Another thing I spotted, which I thought was genius, is flexible freezing.
Yeah.
So freezing, and I love this because I do things like lasagna and freeze them and stuff. Like, so you had a lasagna, you'd line your cooking vessel, you know, your baking dish with double foil, you know, assemble in there, freeze it, and then take it out, which means you get your dish back and... it's ready there and you can then pop it back into there to, you know, once you want to cook it.
Exactly that. And it just, you know, you can better protect it as well because you can wrap the foil around
it.
You pop it in a freezer bag, squeeze all the air out. It's going to take up so much less space in the freezer. And yeah, it gives you that flexibility that you've still got your dish. You're not going, it's when you're scratching around in the cupboards going, I know I've got that dish. Where is it? And then you realise it's in the freezer and you can't have it.
And then one thing I wanted to briefly talk about was because you've mentioned your organisation and your system. I mean, you go deep in here. But, you know, on a kind of like, if people were starting to really think about it, what do you think is the best way to organise your freezer? If you've got, say, like I have like a... I've got like a fridge freezer with three drawers at the bottom, a standy-up one.
So, I mean, the advice is always the same regardless of the size of the freezer. It's all about having kind of categories in place. So thinking about what have I actually got? And this can start, like I have a five-step kind of clear down process, which is to clear down what you've got, to categorize, contain, and then to consume what you've actually got going, what's in the freezer. And basically, regardless of the size of the freezer, thinking about, well, what are my categories? Can I keep all my veg in one drawer, or can I carve up the space? So the contain is all about okay, have I got anything around my house? Like, it could be a shoebox, it could be, you know, whatever. Like, I had a cardboard box that had some tomatoes in it in my freezer for a good 2 years before I invested in kind of drawer dividers and you know, sort of plastic storage and things. So you can make do with what you've got initially. But looking at, can I carve up the space at all? If you've got a freezer that's got shelves, are there containers that you can buy that allow you to, you know, not have things stacked precariously? You know, looking at taking things out of packaging so that you can actually, you know, you've not got all these bags and boxes taking up unnecessary space. And looking as well at things that you've got in your freezer that are unnecessary. So, you know, I have, when I do the freezer clear down challenge, because I usually do it twice a year, and it's just a free exercise that people can just come and join. It's just a bit of a group environment, really. One of the things I get them to do is look at, how many ice packs?
Oh yeah, I've got about 17.
How many ice packs? Have you got a massive bag of ice that you're actually just not going to use?
That, you know, it's just water.
It's just water. And, you know, and it doesn't mean you don't have to just chuck it straight away. Like, if you want to use it in smoothies, if you want to use it up, that's fine. But actually, it is not a good use of that space. Like, I never have ice in my freezer. And when people sort of talk about, like, oh, well, I've only got, you know, I've only got this much freezer space, I've only got three drawers, or in some people's case, you know, I've only got a tiny freezer. Like, it is hard if you've just got an ice box. Like, I'm not going to lie, obviously, that's problematic. It's harder to open freeze, it's harder to flat freeze. But looking at, are there any things that you could just be freezing that are particularly useful to you?
Yeah.
So would it be more useful, rather than having just ice in your icebox, would it be more useful to have garlic, ginger, chilies, herbs, you know, things that don't have to take up a massive amount of space,
but have so much flavour to add?
That's it, that can add so much value. And especially, you know, if you're, you know, if you're really foodie and you like experimenting with different recipes and things, being able to have lemongrass in stock in your freezer, being able to mix up different pastes and things and freezing them in ice cube trays so you've just got a little bag of cubes. You know, there are things that we can do that just help to utilise that space. And by making sure we've kind of got the categories in place, it makes it so much easier for us to find things.
I was going to say, because it's all about you not looking in your freezer and going, I can't be bothered. Or, you know, in my case, and I'm feeling ashamed now because I'm so unorganised in that way of just kind of pulling stuff out and looking and thinking, well, what have I got? Oh my God, I forgot about that, you know. But having it in categories and having it all there in front of you, like a little library of frozen goodies.
That's it. You know, the whole reason that I use freezer bags is because you can flick through, you can easily see what you've got. I always label across the top of the bag, so I don't need to pull the bag out to
see exactly what,
so you can flick through. I also, you know, some people in my clear down challenge much prefer, you know, writing a list. That's absolutely fine. If, you know, here's my freezer inventory. Some people with chest freezers, I know, love getting marker pens, like the wipe off marker pens, and writing on the top of the freezer. But my absolute go-to is actually a sort of photo inventory, because it's so quick to do. So I will grab a drawer out of the freezer and very quickly individually snapshot, okay, here's what I've got. And then I'll organise those into folders on my phone. And so I could tell you, I could look at my phone right now and I could go, okay, in our baked goods drawer, we've got one bagel left over from the kids. We've got four slices of bread. We've got a croissant. We've got this, that and the other. And so when I'm standing in the shop, or even if my husband's standing in the shop, you know, you can look at the album and go, right, what have we got? And obviously, sometimes, you know, if you forget to delete something or if you've not updated it, it might be a little bit out of date, but you can remember, because the photo sparks the memory. Oh, well, I've used that grated carrot, so actually I need to delete that photo. And, you know, or I've topped it up, so actually it's okay. It acts as a prompt. And for me, I need that visual. I need to be able to see
it,
this is what the thing is, this is how much I've got, and this is how old it is. So actually, I really need to be using
that one up and start thinking around that.
Yeah, and you can then sit with that photo album and go, what can I cook? Sit with it, you know, rather than with your head in the freezer and your coat on. like, where is all the food? I know there's food in here. You know, instead, you can sit with a cup of tea and have a look at what you've got in your freezer and plan a whole load of meals, save on your food bill, and know that you're cooking using stuff that otherwise would have gone in the bin.
That's amazing. I mean, that it's next level, but I love it. I mean, I think I'm going to try and embrace it. I mean, so many amazing tips there, Kate. And the book, is it out now?
It's out now, yes.
And it's called The Full Freezer Method, 5 Steps to Transform How You Shop, Cook and Live. Tell us a bit about where people can keep in touch, because you've got your Instagram, your two different Instagram accounts, Can I Freeze It and The Full Freezer Method.
So just The Full Freezer for
the full
Instagram.
Freezer for the Instagram. Yeah. And then online?
Online, my website's thefullfreezer.com. I'm also on Facebook, so there's a free Facebook group.
I was going to say there's groups, and you do these kind of classes and get-togethers, and I think I just did one on Sunday that I still have to watch. You've shared so much today. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us. It's been brilliant.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That was the Olive Podcast. For more information, go to olivemagazine.com, and don't miss our Little Black Book bonus episodes, where guests give us their latest eating, drinking and travel tips, out every Wednesday.